back in chapter 4, I want to, see, we're talking about developing, training people in kingdom principles and lifestyle. And then secondly, making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ-likeness. So I want to review a few things that we said. We said that developing and training are two different matters, but both are equally important and necessary in raising breakthrough believers. Then we asked the question, what does it mean to develop and train? We said to develop means to nurture what they already possess and help to bring in full maturity, usage, and maximum results for the benefit of the kingdom. And then we talked about developing their character and personality so that they can bring forth their gifts, talents, and grace in wholesome living. And holiness is being one with God in His Word. That's in thought and in deed. And then we said that holiness is a mandate. It wasn't an option. Then we went on to explain the meaning of training. Train means to put skills and patterns and accurate procedures, the apostolic blueprint into their lives so that they can carry out the kingdom assignment effectively. Then take that which was imparted in the spiritual realm and bring it to the natural realm by practical application and spiritual principles. We said by developing a person, he becomes effective, but by training the person, his work becomes efficient. Now, I stopped off this statement here that the inability of pastors to train people to live the kingdom lifestyle constitute the basic problem in the church. You know, we got a whole lot of problems in the church, and one reason is because pastors not training the people. Now, the reason that in many places that people not being trained by the pastors because the pastors not trained, and many times, you know, Apostle was talking about tonight, you know, because a lot of times people are gifted, they don't think that they need the training, so. They don't have anybody pointing to them and that sort of thing and stuff. So they basically, you know, going off what they've seen before. You know, some people run to conferences and, you know, try to see what, you know, this church is doing, that church is doing. And then they begin to try to mimic certain things and stuff and have a form of pastoring, but still not training the people. All right. So that's one of the things that Apostle has been hammering on, you know, ever since, oh, Lord, have mercy. I came to the school in 92, came to the school of ministry in 92, and it was always hammering, you know, about, you know, you needing to be trained, you need to be developed, and that sort of thing and stuff. So he's always had a heart to train ministers. So the school is basically, you know, the manifestation of what's in his heart, you know, to train ministers so that they can really be effective and that sort of thing and stuff. Now, there is a lack of character in the pulpit. So what's on the head going to flow on the body. You with me? The Bible talks about if the blind lead the blind, they both going to fall in the ditch. So if the pastor don't have nobody leading him, he don't have a covering, and then he trying to lead folk, then guess what? They both going to be blind. He going to be blind. The people going to be blind because whatever's on that head going to come off on the flock, or on the members. Y'all with me? All right. So now, there's no such thing as a holiness gene. We weren't born with holiness. So it's not part of our natural DNA. Holiness, godly character, and integrity must be taught. It's a learned behavior, and it must be developed and trained. And this does not come automatically just because you're saved. Now, One of the things that, you know, I always say that you can have gifts and your gifts can carry you places that you carry that won't keep you. We see it all the time in the sport arena, you know, guys real talented, real gifted, but they got bad attitudes. They just don't have no kind of character, and they don't go that far. So character is something that really has to be developed. It's not something that just come automatically. And so you have to have somebody that's training you. You understand what I'm saying? One of the things that Apostle said when I first started following him, he set me down, my wife and I down, and he talked to us. And he said, first of all, he said, I'm not going to have no games. If you're going to follow me, no, we're not going to play no games. He said, you got a nice, attractive looking wife. And if I find out that you're doing anything wrong with anybody else, he said, I'm going to break both of your legs. The thing about it was, I said, this is the kind of man I need to follow. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know why these folk want to follow these folk who just is, you know, mamby-pamby, just easy, just a little easy person and stuff. Not going to tell somebody, I got to have somebody that when I'm going in the wrong direction, to go snatch me. Yes, sir. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? And then the thing about it is we got to have enough character to not get all offended when we're being trained. Most folk abort their destiny because they'll get so upset when they're being challenged, when they're being trained and developed. I was sharing about you know, I was just telling God, you know, I just want, you know, why couldn't I just be one of those little pastors who, you know, just preach a little sermon and leave out on a Sunday and go on about his business and, you know, midweek Bible study, come back, preach a little sermon. But the thing about it is our life, when you really been called by God, your life is interwoven into the life of the people. And so you cannot just preach to them unless you're a hireling. You understand what I'm saying? But if you really called by God, you have a responsibility to teach and to train and to develop the people. And so, just like, you know, I was at prayer this morning. We have 6 o'clock prayer. And so I'm at prayer this morning. And so I'm there praying. And so I had this lady who, you know, she's at prayer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that I need to, you know, nice lady, real nice lady and stuff, but she in a situation, ungodly situation. So what do I do as a pastor? I just leave people business alone and just go ahead and let them just continue to live old raunchy life? Or do I talk to them and, you know, real lovingly and real kindly and say, you know, don't allow the enemy to destroy your life by living in sin, that sort of thing. You understand what I'm saying? So the Bible says God is called pastor according to his own heart. Now, so there's something that's on the inside that even when I want to leave folk alone, I can't. You know, I could have just let the lady just go on about her business. Just let her go ahead on about her business and stuff. Don't say nothing. But the thing about it is God gonna hold me responsible. You with me? He gonna hold me responsible. So, you know, he told me to share something when I did. And so, you know, and I left. I said, oh, here I go again. You know, I said, here I go again. You know, I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the people have to welcome correction. They have to welcome. They can't be. You can't have it both ways. You understand what I'm saying? You want all that God has ordained and desired for your life. And, you know, we all have said this. We've all said, you know, especially if you came out of the traditional church, Lord, shape me and mold me and make me to what you would have me to be. Praise the Lord. But we can't choose the instrument. that God chooses to shape us with. Because God will use the leader who he's placed in authority in your life to begin to start shaping you, start cutting you. And cutting don't feel good. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It don't feel good. And so if you're a person who, and we all got personalities. Come on, y'all. We all got personalities. We all got some ways about ourselves. Come on, y'all. On the internet, y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, we all got some ways. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have to be careful. All right, let me say it like this here. Okay. Apostle, God knew exactly how he had designed Apostle, you know, the function and that sort of thing and stuff. So when God called me to follow him, then I can't say, well, you know, I wanted somebody who real mild-mannered. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And somebody who real low-keyed and that kind of thing and stuff. No, God already knew that Apostle will cut you when he called me to follow him. Yeah. So God didn't have to change Apostle for me. He had to change me for Apostle. Yeah. See? So we all got some ways, and many times we don't want to conform. We don't want to transform. We want the person that we following to transform, to treat us the way we think that we ought to be. But at some time when God puts somebody in your life to snatch you by the nape of the neck and say, and really rescue in your life, really.
Yes.
And see, that's the thing that people don't really understand. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something right quick. Because I believe that people got to be trained. They got to be trained. It ain't no doubt about it. They got to be trained because we got too many renegades in the body of Christ. We got too many people. And the thing about it is, you can be a nice person. Being a nice person don't mean nothing. If you don't have no revelation, you know, I thought about Peter. You know, Peter, when they came to get Jesus in that garden and stuff, and Peter, the soldier, and Peter cut the man ear off. I know, you know, I went to thinking about that. I said, now Peter got a revelation from God who Christ was, that he was the Son of the living God, right?
Yes.
You know, Peter got a revelation. So Peter was able to hear from heaven. So I guess Peter must have thought that, you know, if God gave me a revelation of who he is, how y'all don't know? Mm-hmm. So since y'all ain't living, you ain't gonna need the ear no way, just go and cut it off. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you're not listening no way. So the thing about it is, we have to come to a place where we really see there's not a whole lot of training that's going on. People get saved and stuff, and then they go to church, you know, and they go from one church to the next church. If something they don't like at this church, they go to the next one. If they don't like something at that church, then they go to this other church. But God looking for some finishers.
Yeah.
He's looking for the finishing generation. He's looking for those who saying, God, do what you got to do so that I can reach my full potential and advance the kingdom as you called me to advance it. You with me? So one of the things that we got to, and I'm going to share this for a few minutes right here. We have to be trained because this is another, just like holiness is not a gene, loyalty is not a gene either. It's a learned behavior. You have to learn to be loyal. Ooh. This your wife right here? All right, watch this. First of all, if you don't learn to be loyal to God, you'll never be loyal to her.
Amen.
You with me? That's why a lot of people walk outside their marriage, because first of all, they're not loyal to God.
Yes.
See, your loyalty first has to be to God.
Yes.
And if your loyalty is not, if you're not loyal to God, then you're not going to be able to be loyal to a man or a woman who God put in your life to follow. You with me?
Yes.
All right. So now I watch folk. See, when I see a whole lot of divorces and stuff going on in the church and that sort of thing and stuff. I already know that most of the folk, most of the people who is having to, they're really not submitted to God. It don't mean that they're bad people and that kind of thing and stuff. But you know, a man running around on his wife, the wife running around on her husband, that kind of thing and stuff. They're really not being loyal to God if they can do that. Because there's no way. There's no way you can go to a Motel 6 and put the blinds down and cut the lights out and think just because you can't see God, he can't see you. There's no way that you can do that. There's always an ever presence of God. Like Apostle was saying tonight, his presence may not be always manifested, but he's always present.
Yes,
and when you know he's always present, then you can't do anything.
Right.
See, grace empowers us to be able to live out the word of God, that which God has promised us. You with me? All right. But I want to show you something. I'm going to show you something here. This loyalty has to be taught. And I think that it has to be taught to the church. I think when people get saved, they ought to be taught. First of all, you got to be loyal to God. You got to be loyal to God. All right. Loyalty is dependable. Means dependable, accountable, trustworthy, submitted, servant, attitude, and heart. Dependable, honor, reliable, faithful, and allegiance to a person to whom fidelity is held to be due. Faithful to a person, cause, or idea, a state or quality of being loyal, faithful to one's commitment or obligation. So loyalty is a heart issue. So you don't have to prove anything to anyone when you are confident in your loyalty to your leadership. You ain't got to prove nothing. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Jesus had these 12 disciples who he was training. Now, if people really understand the ministry of Jesus, they'll understand that Jesus was real loyal to the Father. Mm-hmm. Y'all with me?
Yes,
and so what Jesus was teaching the disciples how to really walk in sonship.
Yes.
Every time when something would go on and the disciple would marvel about it, Jesus said, I just do what my Father tell me, whatever I see the Father do. He would never take credit for anything that was done. He'd always give the glory to the Father. You with me? And so he was really just teaching us an example. There's a whole lot of things that in ministry, once you are trained and developed, that God is going to do through you. But you got to always give God the glory for it.
Yes.
So but he was trying to teach us sonship and how to operate in loyalty and that sort of thing. So it's a matter of the heart. And it is a learned behavior. If you're not taught how to be loyal, you will not be loyal. You will not be loyal. If you are not taught and trained to be loyal, you will not be loyal. All right? So I said loyalty is a heart issue, right? All right? So loyalty calls for having a servant's heart. It also calls for you to have a no turning back attitude. Once God called you to follow somebody, you got to have a no turning back attitude. Let me tell you something. And I can say this without reservation. I don't go to apostle. I don't say this to apostle. I don't say, Pastor, you don't have to ever worry about, me turning my back on you or anything. I don't have to say that because all I do is just have to live it.
That's it.
You with me? All right. But there are times when, people say, I'm with you 100. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You ain't got to worry about me. I'm going to be with you. And then next thing you look around and they not there. What happened to all of that talk they were talking? Because it's a matter of the heart. You can yabble it. You can blabber it. You can say whatever you want to say. But until it manifests really in your heart, you'll walk out. Okay. All right. Watch this. No matter what leadership you're under, let me just ask you this question. What would it take you? What would it take for you to walk away? What would have to happen? The only way I'm going to leave, a pastor just got to stop following God. Hallelujah. And guess what? And I'm gonna still follow him and see if he's going back and get him. You understand what I'm saying? But you got to ask yourself a question. What would it take? What would my leader have to do for me to just stop following him? Hallelujah. See, Elijah told Elijah, Elijah said, as the Lord liveth, and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. Long as, you know, and then there has to be trust. There has to be trust developed for the leader and that sort of thing and stuff. You know, you understand what I'm saying? All right. You know, the Apostle Paul, man, he talked about the grace of God and all and that kind of thing and stuff. But at one time, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, I think it was, and Paul was upset. Paul said, yeah, y'all been messing up. And then he said, I wrote to y'all once. He said, now, I'm coming to you this second time. And then Paul was saying in so many words, Paul said, now, look, don't have me to come back here again. Don't have me to come back. See, there's something about the way God has put in an apostle, in a leader, to have a concern and a love for the folk. So people have to really understand that. You got to understand that. In order for God to get you from here to where he's trying to take you to, then he's going to put in that leader what it is that you need to, what he needs to pour into you to get you to that place. But if you are not loyal, and let me tell you something that I don't allow this, period. Anybody that's got anything negative that they want to say about the apostle, don't say it to me. Don't come cracking no jokes. Y'all went back down there to the money man. Don't play with me like that. No. Because see what what Satan will use you to do. Jesus told Peter, you know, when Peter was talking about, Jesus was telling him about he was going, you know, he was about to leave and everything and stuff. Peter said, oh, no, Lord, not. Jesus said, get the hits behind me, Satan. Get on behind me. So I said that to say this. Good, intentional people, Satan can use them. Because if God is trying to get you and your family somewhere and he's using an apostle, then there's going to be somebody, it could be somebody in your family that rise up and say some things and stuff. I had one lady in my church, she come up to me, she's crying. We're talking to me and my wife. She said, y'all, I just don't understand. I said, what's wrong? And they're just crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, you know, her mom and her dad had came to the church and stuff, you know, and they come from some traditional church or whatever. And so, you know, they see people sowing into my life, my wife. So when they got home and stuff, the mom and dad, you know, they're making little jokes and stuff. Oh, y'all going over there, y'all getting that man all y'all money and blah, 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 and talking all that, you know. The parents told my wife and I, say, our kids, you know, daughter, God has blessed her tremendously, being here under y'all, you know, so they had that little air, you know, they're going to talk that smack to us, you know what I'm saying, and then get to the house and then go to talking some other stuff. And so the girl was saying, I just don't understand. She said, but this is my mom and my daddy. You know, I love them. I asked them, you know, could y'all please not talk about, you know, my pastor and my first lady. And she said, but I don't know what to do. I said, I'm going to tell you what to do. I said, just tell mom and dad. I said, mama, look, mama, you know, I respect you and I know I love you. You know, I love you and daddy very much. But there is somewhere that God has taken. Apostle just finished saying it when they were talking about Jesus. Parents was outside and stuff. They were looking for him and stuff. And Jesus said, who is my mother and father? They that do the will of my father. You know, you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, unless you hate mama, daddy, watch this, y'all. He said, he told me that they couldn't even be partakers. Okay, now watch this. Now, you know he's not telling you to hate your mom and daddy, right? But this is what he's saying. He's saying that your love for God should be so high to when it's compared to that in the natural, your mom and dad, it should look like hate.
It
ought to resemble hate. So I told her, I said, look, I said, that's what you got to do. I mean, I ain't tell nobody nothing that I don't do. I said, look, I love you and everything and stuff, and but you can't be putting your mouth on my man and my woman of God like that. Now, if you do that, I said, look, we drink coffee every morning. I come over here every day and stuff. But if you're going to do this every time I come, I'm not going to come as much. So you're going to determine how much you're going to see me by how you carry your conversation about the people that I'm following. You understand what I'm saying? See, you can't take this lightly. You can't take this lightly because you're going to abort what God's trying to do in your life. And then sometimes we try to say, well, God could use any man of God. No, God ain't called you to any man of God. I almost took my glass off. Said, God dog it. God didn't call you. See, I don't know about nobody else, but I believe that God loved me so much that God had to put somebody special in my life.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Somebody who not going to compromise with me, somebody who's not going to watch me walk into a wall and not try to stop me. You with me? But somebody who gonna tell me that, look, you know you know this ain't God, or you know this is not right. I got to have somebody in my life like that.
Yes.
I can't have nobody who gonna just be patting me on the back talking about everything all right. No. Go set your tail down somewhere. Look, you know, here you are, you know, here you go, you know, you think that you done heard from God and that kind of thing and stuff, and then you got to have somebody in your life say, that wasn't God.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't God. And then you respect them enough to know that, hey, well, I just need to bag up off of this because I trust, first, watch this, my trust is in God.
Yes.
And my trust is in the fact that God has put this person in my life.
Yes.
And so God know what he's saying, what this person is saying to me. See, watch this. You got to have somebody in your life that's carrying some spiritual weight.
Yes.
Where you may be a lightweight in the spirit, but they heavyweight in the spirit.
Come on.
And so they can override the very thing that you're trying to tell them that God has said to you. They say, no, the Lord ain't said that. Go sit down. Just go sit down. And then you just go there and just sit down and stuff. And then guess what? You're not offended after.
Amen.
You don't leave. And then you got these things in your head, you know, like, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay here. I think my time is up. My season is over. That's the biggest lie that Satan has told to the people of God about your season is over in a place. What? I see. Now, it may be that God didn't tell you to go there in the first place, but don't be talking about your season ain't over because something's going on that you don't like. You understand what I'm saying? Am I time up? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I think we'll see y'all in January. In the January? January?
Yes,
yeah. Praise the Lord. So y'all have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, a Happy Prosperous New Year's, and massive production.
Yes, sir.
God, dog. Praise God.